This episode of Pondering Nerdcast was brought to you by GamingRebellion.com. Join the community today at GamingRebellion.com, where it's more than just games.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the Pondering Nerdcast. This is episode 64. And welcome back to the show for you who are like on a good... I don't know, Sunday morning? You're listening to this Sunday morning on your long commute to somewhere? I don't know, whatever. you know, here with me tonight is Alyssa Spector.
Hey, guys.
And Castle.
Hey, what's up?
All right. And I'm Lance John. I just realized I never say my name in any of the shows. So I've just been a talking head the whole time. I should warn you, you may... Well, actually, no, you won't hear it, actually. But I might get a little distracted at the moment. I've been telling the guys off before we started recording that I am now in a battle with Sony and trying to log into my goddamn account so I can download and play, you know, that little game that's coming out. Apparently you can.
But don't forget to let the people know. It's such a shame. He's a PC person. And he forgot his. So now he's going back to PSN. He forgot his own gamer tag, you say?
Yeah, because I don't.
That's a shame.
Like my PS4 and Xbox just sits there and collect a nice, healthy level of dust on it. I literally just got an email, and it says, "Okay, all right, cool. Now I got the link to change my password." That only took me half a day, guys. Only took me half a day. You too can also achieve this. Anyway, you didn't come here to listen to my woes about logging into my PlayStation, network crap. So, you know, we'll see. Let's get started with some tech news here, or I should say science news. I guess tech and science, same thing, right? Right? There's technical science, there's like medical science, there's stuff like that. But who knows? Anyway, let's get started, shall we? Wait, hold on a second. Hold on. My mic is like, it sounds a little weird, like it sounds like it's far away from me. It's a weird. Okay, so. Alright, so 3, 2, 1. Yeah, let's get started with some tech news here. And if you are a big, you know, astronomy nerd or a geek or whatever. Like, you just love everything space. Like, you follow Neil deGrasse Tyson like a stalker and all that stuff. All that good stuff. So, NASA, or I should say, this is what, the European... I forgot their name, but I think NASA as well made this announcement this week that they have found 7 planets that are roughly the size of Earth. Either a little bit bigger or a little bit smaller, but they're saying that these are 7 planets that can sustain human life, they think. Or I guess M-class planets or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. Who knows? And get this, it's only 40 light years away.
Only 40 light years.
Only 40. You know, so it's like, what, you know, so you guys, like, say, let's say Elon Musk, our savior, it was like, all right, I'm going to build a ship. It's going to be a generational ship. We're going to these planets. Who will sign up? You guys down?
But how long is 40 light years?
Well, so each light year is equivalent to one of our years, right? So it will literally take you 40 years to get there. If you were traveling at the speed of light. Now, given that we have nothing, there is no vehicle that we have on Earth at all, anywhere on the planet that can travel at the speed of light, not even close to it. Speed of sound, but not the speed of light. So imagine, like, pretty much it would take us, this is my only estimate, I could be completely wrong, but with our current fastest vehicle that we have, will take maybe 80 to 150 years.
Shit.
So, so you're down?
Yeah. No. You have to like create a whole generation of people traveling to the traveling to the planets.
Nah. Okay. Yeah, I hear you. Because I guess this is cool. It's a cool discovery. Like I had a few friends. I had a friend asking me like, why did they just discover it now? And I had to explain to her the whole concept of how long it takes light to travel to us. Hey, you know, so pretty much, you know, to explain it, like, okay, so if something is 40 light years away, it's going to take 40 years for the light to reach us. So what we're seeing now is the Earth 40 years ago, from the images that we're receiving now. So we don't really know what is like, what it really is like on that planet, you know. So there's a bunch of theories and stuff like that. So it's kind of weird, like, as it's weird how, it's weird how like time travel, like it's kind of weird how time behaves in space versus how we view it here on Earth, you know. So there is that.
So these pictures, we're looking at these planets from the 1970s.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty much how we're viewing that right now. So, yeah, you know, go figure. So until we create, like, even, and the thing is, even if we were to create faster than light travel, right now we don't have the technology to physically go past that. You know, there might be some sort of robot or some sort of ship that can do it, but not with a human inside of it. We will die. You know, so that's why, movies like Star Wars and Star Trek, or the concept of it, it have warp drives or wormholes. Like, they punch through. Pretty much a wormhole is probably the most ideal and realistic way to travel from Earth to these planets, because it's like folding. It's like taking.
It's like teleporting.
Yeah, pretty much, because it's like it's bending space and time. Like, you're folding it in on itself. So it's like, just imagine a straight line, and you're at one end of the line, and it plants at the other end. What wormhole does is actually take both ends and then bring them together, so you literally just jump from one to the next, and it will be like almost no time has passed at all.
But is that safe for us? Like,
if we have a ship that can withstand, because the thing is, because we've never been in a wormhole, because I think the only thing we've ever viewed as a wormhole is when a black hole happens. Pretty much, that's like a wormhole. It's like everything's been sucked in and crushed, even light. So because we can't measure what's happening inside of those things, it may or may not kill you. And we don't even know if it, like, if it's full of radiation, if it's, you know, like, it could be all kind of crazy shit that could happen to the human body, or you might go insane. Who knows, you know? But given that, even though we were able to travel from one end of the spectrum, like, say, travel from Earth to one of these seven planets, we will more or less almost like we travel 40 years into the future from someone on Earth's perspective, you know? So it's kind of weird, unless we're able to create faster than light communication things, which we could probably do. But yeah, I mean, it's a cool discovery, but kind of sucks for us humans, because we're probably never going to see it in our lifetime. So unless, you know, unless aliens come and give us the technology. So, you know, that's just, it's time, space, and all this stuff. But I should say that some of this stuff is like theoretical. So, but hey.
We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, anything is possible at this point. So we'll see. Anywho, moving on to some more technology stuff here in our time, and something that's happening now. So Stanford researchers were able to develop a brain control type in for people with paralysis. So there's a video. There's going to be a video in the show notes and whatnot that you can check it out. It's on YouTube. And I would say be prepared for when you see the subject that's using this apparatus to type with your mind. It's a huge fucking plug coming out of her head. I'll just let you know that
is it like attached to her head, or do they just strap it to her head?
If I am correct in what I am seeing here, I think what they did was drill the hole in her head, put electrodes in there, and then attach the thing Oh, I heard some music there.
Wasn't like me. Had,
like they drilled a hole of some sort, and goodness, you know, I think that's the only way that could work. Like right now, because it's a huge fucking plug, and it's like a huge wire coming out of the head, and you know, I mean, it's working. It's direct link. Can't get no better than that, right? Oh yes. Oh, I'm watching the video now, and yes, he is unscrewing this thing from her damn skull. Holy shit.
Oh god. I mean, I think it's great that they're fascinating. They can enable people. They can give people the ability to type via, you know, they're giving people a way to communicate while they're paralyzed, which I think is great, but that's still scary as hell. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's almost like the equivalent of the Matrix, how they had the huge, like, ports in the back of their necks. That was kind of
how
their
spine. How did I take a shower with that? I'm assuming they unplug it and maybe she has, like, a cap to put over.
Yeah, I'm sure it's, like, waterproof or something. Or she just put on, like, a shower cap and not think about it. You know? I mean, from the video that I'm seeing here, she's able to actually type out full sentences. It's a bit slow, so I'm guessing this thing can't really translate thoughts fast, you know? Because there's nothing faster than the speed of thought, you know?
So, no, I hear that. But I'm wondering, like, how would this work if, like, you have it attached and you suddenly, like, have a quick thought, like, you think about something, like, something that's not a word in a split moment, like how would that work?
That's true. I mean, because at the same time, like from like having a human brain interface to a machine which is only pre-programmed by another human being that can only accept certain commands, I don't know. That's a good. I don't know, Alyssa. Damn.
I'm wondering how it works. Like, are they thinking of a picture of the letter? Are they thinking? Are they focusing on the thought to like move to the different letters to spell a word? It's I'm wondering how it works.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the whole video in its entirety, so I'm not entirely sure how it's enabling the person to actually type out anything. But you know, they're saying that right now this is like in its trial phases and stuff like that. And they're saying it interprets neural signals, so. And I guess the computer itself, it would have to be pretty fast or pretty robust to even, like, handle that sort of information. Or, like, how do you take what we consider to be natural thought and turn it into ones and zeros, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty fascinating because it goes to show you that, I guess, Elon Musk, this is the second time I mentioned him again today, he did say that at one point we all will be one with machines at some point or something like that. So maybe this is the beginning, guys.
It's going to be the Matrix.
All over the show. All of it. So it's pretty fascinating medical technology. So we shall see, man. We shall see how that goes. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty cool. And who knows? Maybe one day we'll be able to get certain technology to augment our senses or whatever. Or solve Alzheimer's and whatnot. Like, if you've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you too can also live in a virtual reality forever. Or most recently, Black Mirror. Black Mirror episodes and stuff like that. So, we'll see how that works out. Anywho. Moving on to some film news here. I wouldn't really consider this too much of a film news. More like, hey, what is this person up to now? So this is Dwayne's favorite person, by the way. Ronda Rousey is now returning to the small screen. Now here's the thing, before we even get into this article, can you guys point out to me when Ronda Rousey was ever on the small screen?
I would say as a like in UFC. I don't know.
I mean, besides that, like when I think small screen, I think television show, not like reality sporting shows or anything like that. Like, and I'm trying to rack my brain. Like, did she do anything else besides MMA? Like, I can't remember anything she was in. Like, at all. Besides her, you know, her movie Haywire. Was she in Haywire? No, she wasn't in Haywire. I don't think she was in Haywire.
I don't think she's been in any...
like television stuff. Well, she's been on Drunk History, apparently.
Huh. Maybe that counts.
I guess that counts. She's been in a few movies. Was in Entourage. Oh, so she was in Entourage.
She was in a Japanese game show.
The American Judoka, whatever that is. It's like
a... I don't know.
She's the producer on Roadhouse? Like the new Roadhouse that's coming out?
Yeah, remember we talked about it, I think, in one episode?
Oh, yeah, no, that's, I know that was coming up, but I didn't know she was involved.
Yeah, she. Yeah. Remember I was telling you, she's basically going to be doing Patrick Swayze's role. She's going to be the bouncer.
So she's going to be a female bouncer.
All right, like, she's going to be the bouncer. That's why, remember I was telling you how basically it's going to be a little twist. So now we got to see the guy running around where you're scared. Oh, I can't fight, help me. While, you know, around the ride, everybody's ass in there, you know.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, hey, she's going forward. That I thought she was in Haywire, but I guess that was another MMA fighter.
I don't know too much about her, except that I know she's a huge Pokemon fan.
Yeah, she's a huge geek, like a huge fucking.
There's
geek.
Like a video of her doing a fighting montage wearing a Pikachu suit.
I could imagine.
She's a hardcore Pokemon fan.
I met two people like that today that was still playing Pokemon Go, which was like, oh my god, you're like one of the 10 people still playing. Awesome. It's
like, well, yeah, they just came out with 80 new Pokemon, so.
Oh, okay, well.
Came out with Generation 2.
It will never be back on my phone. She will be debuting, I guess not debuting, but she will be back on this on the small screen on a show called Blind Spot, which I've been meaning to watch. And that's about it, apparently. So she's going to be there, and she's going to be on Drunk History as in a non-speaking part. That was from last year, actually. And apparently she's been attached to seven other different acting projects that are coming up.
The UFC career is over. That's why, you know, she got to do something else.
Which is fine.
I'm just saying, I mean, like, you know, while you're still, let's just say, while you're still kind of hot in the limelight, where people still want to, you know, try you out with stuff, you still got to take these chances now, because we could just see by basically her last two fights, like, she's not going to, if she goes back, it'll be a miracle. But all I'm going to say is, like, in my opinion, like I said, I'm not in her head. I just have to, like, you know, analyze. I can say that her career is practically over. So she has to do something else. And she did acting. She wasn't, big screen wise, Fast Furious 7. And then, you know, she could do little roles now, get her stardom here, and keep moving her way up. And who knows, she could forget about UFC and then do her fighting in real movies. Mm. Instead of getting all them big old scars on her face in the octagon.
Yeah. Move on to something less dangerous. I'm not mad at you, girl. Do what you gotta do. So yeah, she's gonna be in Blind Spot. If you watch that show, I guess it'll be a treat for you. You know? I don't know. But you know, we shall see. And apparently, according to this article, it says Blind Spot follows Jamie Alexander, best known for her So that actress in Blind Spot is known for her role in Thor. Apparently, she wakes up with no knowledge about her past life. Now they're talking about the show. So never mind. if you've seen Blind Spot, you don't know what I'm talking about, I guess go check it out. Whatever. I don't care. But yeah, that's what Rousey's going back to, and apparently this made the news. So yeah. And that would probably be as much sport we ever talk about in the show. moving on to some more news I want to call him the godfather of filmmaking, but I'm probably wrong about this. I'll say he's a good filmmaker. You know, Martin Scorsese, who seems to never die because he's probably like 108 years old now. And I say that lovingly because he's an old man that seems to like been making movies all my damn life. And, pretty much, you know, he was recently at some sort of like speaking engagement or whatever, and said that, more or less that Hollywood is over and that Netflix is the next big thing when it comes to making movies. I believe it. Do you guys believe it?
I believe it.
What about you, Dwayne?
I'm 50-50.
You don't think Hollywood is over?
That is over?
Yeah, like it's... Because he's speaking on the side of, like, filmmaking. Like, when it comes to putting out a movie and stuff like that. Because I guess I should... Well, this is from my understanding about creating a movie for Hollywood versus creating a movie for Netflix. So, say Dwayne has an idea for a movie. You know, first he has to write a script and everything like that and go and pitch it to some studio executive. Now, that's even if you can even find one. It's like, you know what I'm saying? So you push it out there to this person. Hopefully they don't steal your idea. And
well,
then
I will say this. You reason why I can say 50-50, remember, like you said, when you push a movie out for Hollywood, you're spending millions and let's say billions compared to let's say you're doing something for Netflix. I'm not gonna say you're spending way less than you do to make a movie. Less traveling and all that stuff. I remember the actors who do movies, they want, like you say, billions of dollars. Where the actors who just say do Netflix series, they'll take anything because they know from that point, if the show is good, they're moving on from there. So it's like, when it says dead, yeah, in a way, not fully, but it's going to eventually get there soon. Because, I mean, in my personal opinion, Hollywood has run out of ideas with too many remakes, in my opinion, on that part. That's what I feel on that. Superhero movies are gonna kill it. So I mean, my personal opinion.
I wouldn't say that Hollywood is running out of ideas. I think Hollywood is scared of ideas.
That's what I think. I mean,
yeah, because
they done. Because think about it this way. Not to be too much of a perv on this, but think about it like this. Back in the day, let's say around the 80s and 90s, right? When you used to see, horror movies or anything, you used to see, they used to be rated R, cussing. You see, like, you know, either women's breasts or guys' butts hanging out in the open. Now, now when you get these scary movies, it's true. Now when you get these scary movies, they're PG-13, and you're like, what could a PG-13 movie do for me? But then you realize all these movies that are coming out.
It's more money. It's just money, yeah.
It's the truth. They're so scared to make a move because... It seems like this generation of movies, I guess we could say people, they know that they're so picky and quick to judge stuff. Oh, this is not right. This is making something against women. This makes something against men. This makes something against racist. You know, they're just so scared to make a move. They just want to censor so much stuff to just make, okay, here it is. Enjoy it.
Right.
So we don't care.
I mean, I can see where they're coming from. I don't think Hollywood is dead. I just think I feel like where Scorsese's coming from, he probably feels that, you know, most people that are going to the movies, you know, they're going to see a big blockbuster movie with like explosions and special effects. And, you know, it seems like, you know, you always see at the top of, you know, the box office, it's like these big, you know, special effect action movies or stupid comedy movies or cartoon movies, because, you know, most parents will bring their kids, you know, to the movie theater. They want to see, like, this, you know, hyperactive, colorful cartoon movie that they can bring the whole family to and sit in the theater together and watch on the big screen. So, I don't know, maybe he feels like it's better, like, drama doesn't really have a place in the box office anymore unless, you know, unless there really is a really good word of mouth. But,
compelling, yeah.
Like, a lot of these movies, especially these Oscar-nominated movies, I mean, you don't really hear about them until, like, around Oscar time. Like, La La Land, which is coming out, like, all of a sudden...
Never heard of it until that
day. Well, like, now I'm hearing... It just came out, like, I think around Christmas time, and it's like, I've heard of it, but now all of a sudden it's getting all this,
like,
praise,
buzz, yeah.
And they're saying, like, this may be, like, the like best picture at the Oscars because it's a musical and I love musicals,
right.
So I would like to see this movie too, but I didn't know about this movie until, like, you know, now, you know, the Oscars are coming, I think, like, this Sunday. Yeah, I think it's happening this Sunday.
I believe so, yeah.
And you know, a lot of these movies, like I've heard of them, but I didn't really know about them until these past few weeks. And I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds interesting, because a lot of these, you know, it's advertising too. They constantly push like these big popcorn, you know, movies like Lego Batman movie and another superhero movie and this cool action movie with special effects and, you know, and of course, you know, Beauty and the Beast, because, you know, that's a big, you know, that was one of their most, that was Disney's most, one of their most popular, you know, animated movies. So everybody's hyping about that because it's live action and it's got Hermione from Harry Potter and these fancy special effects, and it appeals to the nostalgia crowd. And I don't know. It's, and, you know, I like drama, but it's hard to get people in seats to watch a big drama movie, like a drama movie on a big screen. I don't know. I could be wrong, but maybe they feel like Netflix is a place for, like, more people can sit at home. You know, being at home, it's more intimate, so you can, you know, get more, like, indulged watching this drama movie than you would at a theater. Because theaters are distracting.
Well, depends on where you go. I would say, so I think, you know, from what he, some of the stuff he's saying here, I think what he means by Hollywood is over is creatively they're done. Like, they're just not, like Dwayne was saying, that they ran out of ideas, or, you know, they're afraid of ideas. And Netflix, if you really took a good look at Netflix and look at all the different genres that they have there, there are stuff there that you would never, ever see on television.
You never see it
in the theaters, because the content is just too graphic for some people. Is it a too graphic, too controversial, or they just won't understand? And there are some movies on there that pop up out of nowhere and just create this huge buzz for like a very little while, but they otherwise would have just been a failure in the box office. So it's like, you go in and a company put $30 million in advertising dollars behind your thing, and then you just make $10 million in the box office. They're never going to touch you again, because they're going to call you box office poison. Because, you know, at the end of the day, Hollywood has become a money-making machine, and it's a great marketing machine as well. But when it comes to, like, being a filmmaker, or just being a creative in that sense, where you can create a drama, comedy, short, or, you know, a documentary or something like that. Or like I think Martin Scorsese, what was his last movie? Silence, about a Jesuit priest traveling in Asia somewhere.
Yeah.
And that stunk at the box office. Like, no one cared. No one cared. You know, and it has Martin Scorsese's name on it. He's like, you would think whenever he puts, because he's known as a box office blockbuster guy. You know, like, he puts out a movie, it's going to do bangbusters, you know, no matter what. This one, not so much. So I guess some people could say that, oh, well, because your last movie failed, that now you're bitter towards box office. But no, I don't think that's what he's saying. I think that the whole process, the traditional way of putting out a movie versus putting out a movie on Netflix, it has to be refreshing. Because I would only imagine that it's refreshing to the filmmaker. It has to be, because you now have this freedom. You don't have to worry about spending millions of dollars on advertising anymore. You can literally just drop a picture on Facebook, and that shit goes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't spend a goddamn dime besides the person who made the picture. Like, you know, and it's like, and that in itself, like, you know, there are people who are waiting right now for certain movies to pop up on Netflix. And because Netflix doesn't have this whole, hey, guess what's coming? It's kind of like they do that for some shows and some movies, but not the majority of them. Because every now and then, my Netflix account hit me with, hey, there's a new season of blah, 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 blah. And they know I'm going to watch it because I watched the other ones before, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's so tailored to you as a person. It's so, like, your Netflix account is so personal to you as a person. That's why it works so good for people, because it's cheap. It's custom made just for you and nobody else. except you, you know, if you give out your password to everybody. But I think that's where you have, like, okay, Dear White People. There is a movie that came out a couple years ago, and now it's going to be a series on Netflix. All right, wow. It's called Dear White People, and the internet lost their minds when they heard about this. Some guy said he's unsubscribing from Netflix because this show promotes white genocide. Now, obviously, he's never seen the movie, and he doesn't know anything about the content of what's going to happen. I'm not even going to explain anything. If you really want to know what Dear White People is about, go watch the movie. It's out for rental now, so go find it somewhere. It was an independent film that came out a couple years ago. I didn't think it was the greatest thing ever. I thought it was cute, but I didn't really think it was great. But that's just me, you know. But I'm interested to see what they do with a show, because I hate commercials. I hate commercials. I want to watch my show. I want to watch it now. I want to watch it however I like, and they can kiss my ass with that. So it's like, and that's why I have decided to cut out cable out of my life and just keep an internet.
Aww.
I don't care. Like, I literally don't care about what any of these other channels are doing anymore, because at some point all their shows would end up on my Netflix or Hulu, because they know that that's where you're going to get more eyeballs than anything else, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, so I think it's just that you can have more creative freedom when it comes to online versus in the movie theater. And like Dwayne says, like, you know, how can you have a horror movie that's PG-13? That doesn't make any damn sense. I agree with Dwayne.
I'm telling you that's how I have to judge him, because it's like I said, they're scared to make a move. Because this,
right. you can have a horror movie. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, perfect example. Compare Daredevil, a Netflix series, to Daredevil movie. I went to the theaters.
Right.
Look, I'm just saying, look how better the movie came out being on Netflix. Watch, say, the series. Mm. Because there was really no boundaries. They made their own boundaries, if you want to say. So it was like, imagine Batman versus Superman, if it was a straight Netflix series, what they could have done with that. That's what I'm saying. It's like, there's so much stuff you could say Netflix could do better, because they're not worried about movies. Because think about it, you have a choice. You don't have to see it. You can just knock it off from your Netflix. You know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not worried about it.
Well, I was saying, you can make a horror movie that's PG-13. They just don't rely on blood and gore. They rely on, like, psychological horror. Like, Drag Me to Hell was PG-13. The Ring was PG-13. Tremors was PG-13.
No, I'm not saying those movies were bad. I'm just saying, like, you know, from, like I said, when I did the beginning, when I said, don't call me a perv, because, like, They toned down how they make movies, because like I said, a lot of movies. Matter of fact, perfect TV show. What was that show again? Was it NYPD Blue?
Yes. That was pretty edgy for
only,
this time.
Only show I know they would show a man's naked butt or a woman's naked butt on TV. On TV now. Now you have Law and Order SVU. You have regular Law and Order. They never touched that. They like I said, it's like, it's just that they're so scared. Like, they're so scared of what the backlash is going to be from people who watch these shows. They're scared to offend anybody. That's why I said, like, Hollywood is just running scared right now. They're going to still be around, but they're just running scared.
Yeah.
That's true.
I agree.
Well, I think, like, where he's coming from, too, like, the whole idea that Hollywood, you know, has lost its creativity, again, I think it's because they know the moviegoers will go to the theater and watch these big blockbuster movies. They'll go to these movies that are like, here's another sequel, here's another superhero movie, here's another Transformers movie, here's another, you know, here's a remake of that thing you loved when you were a child. You'll go see it. You'll spend your money on it. You'll go with your friends with these and put on the 3D glasses for these cool special effects, like, you know, it's hard to draw somebody in with, like, you know, a drama movie unless, you know, it's a really, really good drama movie that has good word of mouth. But again, Hollywood is to blame, too, for not promoting these movies enough. They promote, again, the Transformers movie and freaking Baywatch movie that's coming out later on.
Well, that's basically, that's, Well, I mean, don't blame Hype for that. That's the people who want, that's people who want their movie to go, but they put millions in. So they spend millions to promote. If you don't have the money, you can't advertise.
I feel like it's easy to put money in that because they know people will go see it regardless.
Right. I ain't going to
so watch movies. It's a vicious cycle. It's like they know people will go see it, so they spend money in it. That's what they invest the time and money into. They promote it. And we see it all the time, so that's the movies we get invested in, and you know the cycle goes around and around.
Yeah, and waste countless conversation over too. We did fighting with geeks about whether or not Batman v Superman was great.
It was okay, people. It was okay, but again, that's my opinion.
It's my opinion, man.
But come on, Batman hitting Superman over the head with a sink. Come on. Sorry. Anyway, again, my opinion.
It is what it is. But we shall see what happens. Let's see if Martin Scorsese is right or wrong. Who knows? In my opinion, I'm excited to see what they both do. So we'll see what happens. Moving on to some game news here. Yay! So we're about what? When this comes out on Monday, we'll be officially, look at the calendar right now.
It'll come out on next Friday.
Like, yeah, we'll be like 4 days out. So right now we're like almost a week out for the Nintendo Switch to drop into your, you know, sweaty hands. For your dog or your cat to like lick or something. Or maybe your small child try to, you know, hide your Joy-Cons in the microwave somewhere and turn it on. It's like, so this thing is coming out very, very soon. I think the retail price is, what, $299 or something like that? Like, it's like without a game or anything like that, if you can find just the system. And there's an article here talking about how it's a technological work of art. It's on Forbes.com. And pretty much it's saying, like, you know, portability, how well the Joy-Cons work, that, you know, it's like, kind of like much more high-end gaming on the go, somewhat even better than like the Nvidia Shield in a way. And you know, I mean, that's they're not they I found it interesting that they did not concentrate on the battery life
on this thing. What was the battery life again?
I believe it's 6.5 hours with light use and about 2 hours or 2.5 hours with like heavy gameplay. So if you're like a Zelda fan, because we all know everybody's buying this game, just Breath of the Wild is like,
even though you can get it on the Wii U, but come on, we all know you should get it for the new system that's coming out.
The new system, yeah. And so like, you know, you'll probably just be doing 2.5 hours. For your stuff.
No, that's just Nintendo's way of saying that it's still is mostly a home console.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, you know, I don't mind it, and I you know, I'll put it this way: as a gamer, as an average gamer and stuff like that, I have always wanted to be able to take high end games that I've sit there for hours and played, and just play it on the go. You know, just because sometimes I have long commutes to work or going into the city or whatever the case may be. And I just need something to occupy my mind. And, you know, something like this is kind of like a dream come true for me. Because I just wanted to be able to do that. And, you know, I would say it's an interesting piece of hardware. Like the Joy-Con, I think the best thing out of this whole thing is the Joy-Cons, because they have a battery life of like 40 hours combined. And that's pretty amazing, you know, whereas I don't even know what the battery life on the Xbox One controller is or a PS4 controller is. I know it ain't 40 hours. So like with heavy gameplay, you're not getting 40 hours out of that thing. It's like, because, you know, every now and then, I think, hell, what I've noticed from the Xbox One to the Xbox 360 is that the controller dies a lot faster. And I don't know what that's like a battery problem or whatever, but I think that's actually pretty cool. And then it has like USB-C cables, like, you know, ports and stuff like that. That's actually more advanced than any handheld gaming console out there right now. Because you know, USB-C is a brand new USB bus technology, and it's like super fast and everything like that. So it's like, you don't, you know, that's usually reserved for like cell phones, and now it's on a console. So that should be cool there. But I don't know how much stuff you're going to be transferring back and forth on your, you know, your Nintendo Switch.
I think I'll mostly be playing it at home, even though I love to take it with me on the go. I'd be too afraid to play that on a subway. In fear of like some kid coming up to me and just like yanking it out of my hands. So
No, I completely understand.
I'll play it on a bus because a bus I'm more secure because I'm sitting in a row and nobody can just come up to me and yank it out of my hands.
it'll happen because I remember when PSP first came out and things were getting snatched like crazy.
Yeah, that's my big fear. I mean, my fear was like that when playing with my 3DS too, but again, I would only play it on the bus. So I would never play it. I would never take it out on a train. In case, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, we should tell people, like, we live in New York City, so there are,
especially there if you're near, legitimate concern. Especially if you're near Times Square. I wouldn't take anything out.
We all experienced the grab and go.
Yep.
I haven't, because I'm just really a big dude, but, you know.
my first Nintendo 64 was a grab and go. Just trying to get in the bus and snatch.
Well, I try not to play on the train, too, also because when I'm on the train, I'm constantly trying to be aware from my surroundings to know, like, okay, is this my stop? I can't tell. At least on the bus, I could tell when my stop's coming up because, you know.
You can look outside.
I can look outside and be like, okay, yeah, this is coming up. While on the subway, it's like, okay, I'm in a tunnel. I have to probably take off my headphones to know where we are. So I don't know. I have to be aware of my surroundings of all time when I'm in a subway because I don't know. I'm paranoid. I'm afraid I'll get lost.
No, I hear you. I hear you on that. But yeah. So I mean, are you guys? I know you say you pre-ordered it already, right? So you're excited for it, or are you just kind of like meh on it right now? Like,
what, no, I'm excited. I'm just kind of upset at the moment because I have so many other games that I need to play, so I'm like, oh, another system, I gotta get it, but I have all these other games I need to play. I still PS3 games I haven't finished.
So many games, so little time. What about you doing? Are you getting the
first world Switch problems?
Yeah, I mean, I'll get the Switch, but I'm gonna be getting a second batch because, like I said, I was reading a lot of stuff that's not gonna be available when it at launch. So I was like, there's no hurry because they already said the virtual console to download games. That's going to be off. Won't be available at launch. So I was like, there's so much other stuff you got to get with it. So I was like, I got other consoles and games I got to beat. So there's no rush.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. I'm not rushing either.
I wasn't going to pre-order it until they said, like, oh, there's limited pre-orders. And then I saw that, you know, that window of opportunity where it was still available on GameStop. So I was like, fuck it, I got a GameStop gift card, I'm going for it. I hope they took off the GameStop gift card, because it didn't look like they did when I looked at my receipt. So, we'll see. We'll see when the day arrives.
I hear you. I mean, hey, we'll see when it pops up, and I'm sure there's going to be shit ton of streams when it does come out. You know, people showing it off and everything like that, unboxing. I think there's like an unboxing right now for like the
some people got
Breath of the Wild. Yeah, I've seen a few people like showing it off already. But I think Nintendo put like an official unboxing, but I think it was like the Breath of the Wild Deluxe Edition. Yeah. Huge ass box.
Yeah, I was tempted to get that, but I was like, no, why do you want my money, Nintendo? Stop making me give you my money. Useless things.
All your monies come to us.
No. I'll just wait until the game comes out. I mean, like, they had like I could have pre-ordered the Breath of the Wild like special edition which came with like all these, you know, little sword things, like a Master Sword statue. But I was like, I don't need it as much. Really? I was like, as cool as it is, like, I don't need it. I want it, but I don't need it.
Not a need, just a want. Yeah. I'm sure it would look really cool depending on where you, like, you know, put it.
Maybe, but it's like a mini. It's it's like a mini sculpture. So I'm like, it's just gonna collect dust.
Oh, so it's not even like a huge, like a bigger, like half bust or something.
It's just like a mini sculpture of the sword. And I guess like the additional stuff they give you is like, I don't know, decals or a case for your for the Switch. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. Well, get your hands on a Nintendo Switch March 3rd. It's not like Nintendo actually needs any help from us advertising it, but whatever. Let us know how you feel about it in the comments and everything like that, or just, you know. One day we'll have a phone number you can call it, maybe. No, we're never going to do that. I'm never going to do that. I don't want to hear you guys. I'm playing. Anyway, moving on to our last topic here. So Street Fighter 5?
Yep.
V? 7? Something?
5.
5. I'm
playing. Street Fighter 5. This has been 5 of them. 5. Which I think that's a wrong number. I feel like this is like the...
$5 football.
So Street Fighter 5 is headed. It's going to be on TBS. That's right. Turner Broadcast Station. The most redneck station ever. We'll be having is this a tournament, Dwayne? This is a tournament, right?
Yes, it's going to be a tournament, invitational tournament. Basically, the story is based like E-League has always been doing Counter-Strike. I think it's Counter-Strike Go.
Wait.
E-League? On TBS. As the invitation.
What the hell is?
So
what the hell is E League? I thought it was only like MLG. What's going on?
Here? No. the E League. I mean, well, now they decided that, like, you know, they're gonna step their game onto the FGC, the fighting game community. So they're gonna start doing invitationals to Street Fighter 5. And I just found out recently, one guy that I do follow, the good Street Fighter president, Long Island Joe, he just got his invitation to go there. So he's gonna be part of the group that's going. I think they said 16, the top 16 from last year's Pro Tour, and then Capcom's gonna invite the other 16. We'll have a total of 32. And I guess they're gonna play it out on TBS. I mean, $250,000 just to play Street Fighter. I gotta get my game up.
That's not some bad scratch right there. That's not bad. That's more people. That's more than what some people make in a year. So, yeah. So and so, this is going to be live broadcast through them. So, pretty much, it's the ultimate stream, guys. No, I'm playing. it more or less is when you think about it, because you know, it's Street Fighter and it's on television. But I think this is like what they're. This is like TBS. Like it's kind of weird that the reason why I call it the most redneck channel is because literally just because I would never in a million, if someone told me 5 years ago that TBS is going to start putting on video games as shows as a esports show, I would laugh at you until you go sit down and never speak to me again.
What do they air on TBS?
Mostly dramas and stuff like that, and like shows that you probably will hear about 6 years from now that apparently was great, but we don't know. So, and a lot of old, like, you know, movies from the 90s and the 80s and stuff like that. Some and a few movies from like the 2000s and shit. But I never thought that TBS would be the place to go and watch live broadcasts of esports, you know, because I thought that, you know, ESPN would be the place to do that. But I guess it kind of makes sense because I don't watch ESPN and I don't think I like frequent TBS at all ever.
So hey, we lost G4, so
yeah, we need something, right? So who knows, maybe hey, could be people from G4 ended up at like somebody from TBS ended up there. I mean, from G4 ended up at TBS and now, you know, pitched this idea and I guess it worked, because I think they did something last year with NBA 2K or 16 or whatever it's called. They had like Kobe Bryant there and everything. They had like some heavy hitters there, and which was like shocking to me. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? It's like it was so weird.
There's a lot of tournaments that be going on that we don't really hear of unless you really follow the game itself.
Right. Yeah. It seems to be working. It seems like they keep doing it. They are able to get, you know, big names to attach to these things. So either they're spending way too much money getting these big names, or they're doing it right.
I mean, it's just that my personal opinion on this part right here is like they're spending money doing it kind of right, but it's like that right now I just hate the fact that the way they're making some of these games right now, they're making it towards pro players, not towards the casual gamer. You know, so it's like so it's like when you buy these games, you're gonna feel like left out of something. Because I could Street Fighter V is a perfect example. Like when they released it, it was mostly online. There's no arcade mode. Just mostly practice or go online and fight against somebody. Nothing to do from there. So it was like a pro player would be like, yeah, this game is great. I can just keep practicing, go online, fighting other people. Casual player, right. I want to play against my friend side by side. You don't want to play some arcade mode.
Right.
You know? So it was like, I just hope, like, you know, when these games are going to the esports era, that they don't forget about the casual gamers. You know, that's for all the games, shooters and fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, I can definitely see that happening in a way, because it does make it seem a bit unattainable at some point, you know? Because, I mean, I'm an average gamer and stuff like that. I don't play fighting games because I just don't have the time to sit and learn and all that stuff. There's nothing against anybody who has the time to do it. If you have the time to do so, like I say, if you have the time to sit there and learn all these characters or your favorite character, all their moves and stuff, try to make money from it. Enter into the local tournaments. You know, I this year is like, try to do something with it. You know, stream it all the time. And who knows, you might get something out of it.
Yeah, I love fighting games, but I would have to sit there for hours and hours to get good at a character, never mind all the characters. I'm still trying to get good just playing Overwatch. I'm trying to learn all the characters, but as of right now, I'm only sticking with like three that I like to rotate with.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. Like, for me, those games are, I find them boring because, you know, they don't do much else besides what they're just like arena battles and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Which is fine. But like I said, that's just my opinion. Like, you know, I'm not dissing anybody's love for these type of games. If you love them, you like that sort of gameplay and stuff like that, go right ahead. More fun to you, man. But yeah. So this Street Fighter game, broadcast, when is it supposed to be on exactly? Or has it been on already? So apparently it's going to be March 27th to the 30th, live coverage on TBS. And the preliminary rounds will probably air on 31st at 10 p.m. Eastern. So get ready for that, guys. Are you ready for some, you know how they say you're ready for some football? What do you say for video games? Are you ready for some
don't try.
Nerds? What do you say? I didn't hear you.
I'll say don't think about it. I'll say don't think.
Don't think about it. It's like, okay, you can't see you're ready for some football, so yeah, well. It's like, we shall see. Well, I hope whoever wins the $250,000. Could you give us some money? That'd be great. We'll talk about you all the time. We'll make sure we have a gaming in the gaming segment. We'll always talk about your exploits for at least 6 months. That's all you get though for that. So, you know, I'm just saying, just sponsorship. No, I'm just playing. Anyway, guys, we've come to the end of the show. Don't forget to check out GamingRebellion.com. That is where you can find all the episodes that we do there, along with other podcasts and incredible written articles. You know, if you love retro gaming, they have a lot of stuff on there. I would say that's their specialty, but they also do other things as well. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music Play. So subscribe to whichever one you feel, you know, you love the best. Which is every or your favorite podcast catcher that you use on whatever phone you use. It doesn't matter. You can find us. It's pretty easy. Look for Pondering Nerdcast. And you can also find us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Just look for Pondering Nerds. Look for the really funky logo. And that's where you're at. And then you can even talk to some of us not in person, but, you know, online. But anyway, we love you for listening. Until next time, guys. Bye for now.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Later.
Three seashells.